The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Happy Friday and happy Hanukkah, everyone. We got a special happy Hanukkah tune for you.
Is this the eighth night? We light with family. Recall with great pride our escape from great tyranny. Kindle the lights. Remember the Maccabees.
How did those five boys lead us to victory?
They stood up against mighty foes with their oil running low.
Now we sing the lights glow.
Bow, sword, Yeshua.
Sof, 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 more souvganiyot.
More latkes, no, please, more souvganiyot.
Sevivot.
More latkes, please, more souvganiyot.
Sevivot.
More latkes, please, more souvganiyot.
Sevivot.
More souvganiyot.
Sevivot.
More souvganiyot.
Sevivot.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, Abba, Ima, Abba, Ima.
Abba, more souvganiyot.
We firefoot as we celebrate the
Oh,
the Maccabees know what really matters. Thanks to God, our people are free.
Ah, a little bit of a Hanukkah Queen celebration. There's it's a group called 613. Never heard of them before, but apparently they performed at the White House for the Obamas. Another Hanukkah kind of parody. I figured, you know, it is Hanukkah. I haven't even mentioned it yet, but it's going on, been going on for a few days. And I came across that this morning. I thought it was very well done. I don't know about funny. There were a few funny moments in it. But I figured, you know, we're so inundated with Christmas music this time of year, and we really don't have many Hanukkah songs except for the Adam Sandler one. And I won't do that to you. My brother got all the funny genes in our family. He's not really my brother. I just said, I wish he was. I'd ask him for money. Anyway, welcome to a Friday. It is supposed to be a busy Friday today. We are waiting once again, as we did on Tuesday, we're waiting for sentencing memos to come down from Mueller's office. Sentencing memos dealing with for both Paul Manafort and Michael Cohen. And there are going to be two different ones from Michael Cohen, one from the special counsel's office and one from the New York. It's not the Southern District of New York, the U.S. Attorney's office there, because he's, you know, fucked up on a few different fronts. Yeah. So at least the Cohen memos are supposed to be out. The deadline is 5 o'clock today. I don't think there's any. It's time set for the Manafort documents to be released. If it's like Tuesday, the deadline was midnight, and I think they came out somewhere around 8:30. So, yeah, it's a Friday where we wait again. There's other news going on, and I'll have it for you in just a couple of minutes. Today, we're going to, our old friend Deborah Newell Tornello will join in. You know, it's a mishmash of stuff going on today. And I thought it's been a while since Deborah has joined me to poke fun at the state we live in. I'll never forget. It was, during one of the primaries, I think in 2016. And I was making fun of a state. I honestly don't even remember what state it was. But a listener who lived in that state was very offended and cursed me out and swore up and down. I don't even remember if it was a man or a woman. He or she would never listen to my show again because I dared to make fun of their state. Have you ever heard what I do about Florida? Yeah. So don't take it personally. Look, Florida is filled with people whose brains have been melted by the humidity down here. It's the only thing I can figure why duh stuff happens in Florida all the time. It doesn't reflect on me. I just happen to live here. And I'll tell you something. As much crap as people want to give me about living in Florida, I will say this. It's December 7th. While the rest of the country is expecting like a major snowstorm this weekend, we're actually having a bit of a cold snap here. And I think, well, here, I'll tell you what it is outside now is 73 degrees. It's actually, that was from this morning. I should update it because it's probably a little warmer than that now. Let's see. Let's update it and see. 79 degrees. So, yeah, it might be Florida with really weird people living here. But at least it's warm. All right. We will poke fun at the state of Florida and talk about whatever other news of the day strikes our fancy when Litprit Deborah Newell Tornello joins us in a little bit. But there is a lot of news to cover. So without further ado, let's get into what's news, shall we?
I read the news today. Oh, boy. It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, we're doing it live because once again, since 7:30 or so in the morning when I put together my recorded What's News segments and 3 o'clock, which is showtime, things happen. So this updated. And Deborah just said in the chat room, my son just asked if he could put the heat on. It's in the high 60s in St. Petersburg. Yeah, that's a Florida winter for you. All right, the president this morning confirmed, I can't say this with a straight face, well, confirmed that he's nominating State Department spokeswoman and former Fox and Fiends anchor Heather Nauert, or however you pronounce her name, to replace Nikki Haley as the new U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. In June, Nauert showed her complete lack of understanding about diplomatic relationships and history when she implied that D-Day proves our strong relationship with Germany.
Ambassadors have a right to express their opinion. They're representatives of the White House, whether it's this administration or other administrations, and we hear them voicing their opinions. And there's sometimes opinions that people may or may not like, and there is the right to free speech as well. So I want to highlight that, regardless of whether or not you all like it, sometimes these things are what ambassadors say. When you talk about Germany, we have a very strong relationship with the government of Germany.
Yeah.
Looking back in the history books, today is the 71st anniversary of the speech that announced the Marshall Plan. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the D-Day invasion. We obviously have a very long history with the government of Germany, and we have a strong relationship with the government. And so we want to reaffirm the strength of our relationship with Germany.
She's implying there that D-Day showed the strength of our relationship with Germany. She's a dolt. She's an idiot. She's a brainless spokesmodel from Fox, who will now be the UN ambassador from the United States. Lovely. Reacting to this news, Democratic Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut had some reservations.
Our foreign policy is a mess, and the president was laughed at in his last speech before the UN. And I'm not sure anybody would advise him that the way to correct all his mistakes is to put a Fox and Friends anchor as our top ambassador to the United Nations. Heather Nauert, has been at the State Department, so it's not as if she has no experience, but she has no experience as a diplomat. She has no meaningful experience in government. She is clearly not qualified for this job, but these days it seems that the most important qualification is that you show up on Donald Trump's TV screen, and if you're successful in that endeavor, then you seem to be a top candidate to get a whole bunch of top positions in the U.S. government.
Trump also today made official his nomination of William P. Barr, who served as Attorney General during the first Bush administration from 1991 to 93. To return to head up the Justice Department. Now, although he's considered an establishment pick, Barr has criticized aspects of the Russia investigation, including suggesting that the special counsel Robert Mueller hired too many prosecutors who had donated to Democratic campaigns. Barr has also defended Trump's calls for a new criminal investigation into Hillary Clinton, including over a uranium mining deal the Obama administration approved when she was Secretary of State. Both of those nominations require Senate confirmation. Get the popcorn ready. In other staffing news, the Senate yesterday, along a party line vote, confirmed a woman named Kathy Craninger as the next head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Now, she doesn't appear to have much or any discernible knowledge of or interest in consumer protection and financial services, and she wasn't on anyone's radar before her nomination. Richard Cordray is rolling over in his grave. Not that he's dead. You know, he's just not the head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau anymore, and he's not even governor of Ohio. The outcome of the race for North Carolina's 9th congressional district is still in limbo. Democrat Dan McCready has withdrawn his concession to Republican Mark Harris amid an investigation into allegations of election fraud.
Hey, folks, I'm Dan McCready. A month ago, I conceded to my opponent, Mark Harris, in the race for North Carolina's 9th congressional district. But last week, we began to learn about shameful criminal activity bankrolled by my opponent to take away North Carolinians' very rights to vote. I didn't serve overseas in the Marine Corps just to come back home and watch politicians and career criminals attack our democracy. That's why today, I withdraw my concession to Mark Harris, who's remained completely silent. And I call on Mark Harris to tell us exactly what he knew and when he knew it. Join me in this fight for the people whose voices were taken from them.
Harris bested McCready by 905 votes on November 6th, but the state's Board of Elections has refused to certify the results after two people came forward and claimed they were paid by a Republican operative to collect absentee ballots from voters. That's illegal, just in case you were wondering. The Washington Post is reporting that outgoing congressman, defeated Congressman Robert Pittenger, who lost to Harris in the primary, warned the North Carolina Republican Party about potential malfeasance ahead of time to no avail. The state GOP is now calling for a full investigation, and Democrats are demanding a new general election and have the option of refusing to seat Harris until the investigation is resolved. Again, stay tuned. Congress yesterday approved a two-week government funding bill, kicking a fight over the border wall to December 21st. Trump has threatened to veto any spending measure that doesn't allocate $5 billion for the wall, which he told us repeatedly throughout the campaign that Mexico was going to pay for, raising the possibility of a partial government shutdown over Christmas. That's your president for you. New reports are surfacing this morning that Trump's chief of staff, John Kelly, is on his way out. CNN's Caitlin Collins has more.
We are expecting John Kelly, the chief of staff, to resign in the coming days. That is the mood in the White House right now because President Trump and his chief of staff, though they are 17 months into what has been a very tumultuous relationship, it is no longer seen as sustainable by either party, I am being told by sources inside the White House. Their relationship has deteriorated so greatly over the last several weeks where John Kelly's job security has essentially been seen as permanently endangered that right now the president and his chief of staff are not even on speaking terms. Ooh. Now, multiple West Wing officials believe that John Kelly could resign in the coming days, and they are essentially preparing themselves for a pretty big staff shakeup in the West Wing if that does occur, because then it's going to raise questions about, one, who's going to replace John Kelly, and two, are the people who are seen as loyalist to John Kelly in this administration going to leave and follow him out the door of the White House?
There's not many left there. The word is that Kelly's resignation will come sometime in the next couple of days. And Mike Pence's chief of staff, a guy named Nick Ayers, is just waiting in the wings to take over as Trump's chief of staff. What a great job, huh? Today is supposed to be a busy day in Mueller world, as I was telling you before, as prosecutors are set to file sentencing memos on both former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort and former Trump attorney and fixer Michael Cohen.
New documents that are scheduled to be released today could shed new light on Robert Mueller's Russia probe. Prosecutors for the Southern District of New York and the special counsel's office both have until 5 p.m. tonight to deliver sentencing memos concerning President Trump's former fixer, Michael Cohen. The documents are expected to detail Cohen's cooperation in those ongoing investigations. Mueller's team should also be filing a document that outlines the crimes and lies that led to the collapse of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort's plea deal. Meanwhile, NBC News has also learned that in recent days, President Trump's legal team has resumed discussions with the special counsel's office. That is according to two people familiar with the matter. It's been just over 2 weeks since Trump submitted written answers to Mueller regarding the Russia probe. So much that could come out today, even, that would give us some guidance to what potentially is going on.
By the way, with those written answers, you know, Trump told reporters it was no big deal. It was easy. He just, you know, answered them and it was nothing. Giuliani yesterday told the press that it was a nightmare, that it took Trump 3 weeks to do something that should have taken him 2 days to do. And of course, he walked back those comments today because I guess he's speaking out of turn. Go figure. Meanwhile, on Capitol Hill, the House Judiciary Committee is, I guess, still grilling former FBI Director James Comey behind closed doors. Republicans are still probing allegations of bias at the Justice Department and the FBI that they say provoked investigations into Trump's campaign. Let me just say, it wasn't any bias that provoked the investigations into Trump's campaign. It was Donald Trump himself. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Comey agreed to testify only if Republicans make his testimony public within 24 hours. So we're waiting on that as well. As soon as this hearing is over, I guess within 24 hours, seeing the transcript. This is probably the last time Republicans are able to drag a major witness in to testify, as thankfully Democrats gain control of the House right after the holiday break. A bomb threat at CNN headquarters in New York last night forced the network to stop live programming so employees could evacuate the building. The NYPD, which reopened the area around Columbus Circle shortly after midnight, said officers responded to a call at about 10:07 p.m. regarding a bomb threat called into Time Warner Center. Don Lemon was evacuated during his show.
Sadly, this is I fear that this has become or may become the new normal. We're still standing outside and waiting. I'm waiting to get the all clear to be able to go back up, if possible, to my studio and control room. The folks are there because the people who were evacuated from the posts that we need to get on the air. And so we need to make sure that I can get on the air properly before they send us back upstairs. But there's still some police presence out front. But just a short time ago, maybe about 10 minutes ago, maybe 15, we got the all clear to go back into the building.
So why is Don Lemon still out on the street? It was freezing cold in New York last night. I don't know. But that's a scene that is becoming too often repeated. And, well, you know, many on social media suggested that it was Donald Trump's late night tweet blasting fake media, the enemy of the people, in all caps, that might have spurred the threat. The thing is, when you examine the timing, the president actually sent the tweet a few minutes after police had been notified of the threat. So I guess, you know, demented minds think alike. In other news, while we're still digesting a few different reports on the severity of climate change and how horrific our future is if we don't do anything drastic about it, the Environmental Protection Agency is rolling back an Obama-era coal emissions rule designed to regulate climate change. Go figure. The move is part of the Trump administration's effort to loosen restrictions on the coal industry, and it flies in the face of, as I mentioned, a recent congressional report that warns of climate change's dire consequences. That report that Trump flatly dismissed. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. The reversal will make it easier to build coal-powered plants. Who's building a coal-powered plant? But the message of this decision is as important as the result. It shows that the Trump administration has no qualms about disregarding U.S. and international warnings about the changing environment to shore up waning energy interests. And one thing that must be mentioned here is that the acting head of the EPA, again, it's another acting person because the people that Trump initially appointed to these decisions have all either quit or been fired. Anyway, the current acting EPA chief, Andrew Wheeler, is a former coal industry lobbyist. And one last thing, just because it bears mentioning the crap that goes on over at Fox, and it is Hanukkah. I guess last night, Louie Gohmert, you know, the goober from Texas, a congressman, I don't know how he keeps getting reelected, was on Fox with Stuart Varney. I guess Fox Business, a channel that I don't think anybody watches, but it's still there. Anyway, Gohmert launched into this anti-Semitic attack on George Soros.
You mentioned Orwell. It also reminds me of another George, George Soros, you know, because Google is born in a free country, and what? Then they go over and oppress others, help oppress in another country. George Soros is supposed to be Jewish, but
he's
you wouldn't
supposed
know it
be,
from
huh?
the damage he's inflicted on Israel.
Oh, really?
And the fact that he turned on fellow Jews and
oh,
helped
my God.
Take the property that they own. This same kind of thing. Google coming from a free country and helping oppress.
Oh, my God. Louis and Stuart Varney apparently didn't do anything, didn't say anything to correct him for over an hour. Those are the people at Fox for you. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. There you have it. We're still waiting to hear from the special counsel's office and watch the Manafort sentencing memos will be released right at or sentencing memo sometime before midnight. The Michael Cohen memos are expected sometime before 5 p.m. Stay tuned. All right, we'll take a break. We'll check in with Brad and Desi, the latest Green News report, and come back on the other side to talk Florida. Yes. And now I'm looking at the chat room. Yes. George Soros is a Holocaust survivor. Louis Gohmert is a backwoods asshole idiot who doesn't know his shit from Shinola. I don't know. Just threw that out there. And yes, that was Louis Gohmert. An hour of Louis? Hell no. We will come back with our Oy Florida segment because the Sunshine State is frying brains down here. Don't go away. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com on the Progressive Voices Network and on other wonderful internet stations near you like FYI Nation and Netroots Radio and others that I'm just spacing out on right now. We'll be right back.
It's Thursday, December 6, 2018.
We are in trouble.
Bad news, global carbon emissions on the rise again.
This movement has really become about something much bigger than just a protest over fuel prices.
France suspends fuel tax hikes after violent protests. Greenland's ice melt has gone into overdrive, new study says. Plus,
as a business leader, but in fact also as a human being, it's vital that we find solutions for this problem.
World's largest shipping company targets 100% zero emissions by 2050.
All of that bad news and a little bit of good news straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We are still not doing enough, nor moving fast enough, to prevent irreversible and catastrophic climate disruption.
Thanks, Chuckles. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, should we start with the good or the bad news today?
Oh, we got both, so let's start with the bad news. As world leaders at the United Nations climate talks in Poland try to hammer out a rule book for countries to cut the greenhouse gas emissions that cause dangerous man-made climate change, global carbon emissions are now rising again.
Great.
While it had appeared that maybe the world had turned a corner with emissions mostly flat from 2014 to 2016, in 2017, they started growing again, led by China, India, and the U.S.
What happened in 2017 in the U.S.?
But Europe's emissions fell. Emissions have reached a new record high in 2018, according to the Global Carbon Project this week. And worse, the researcher said, global emissions in 2018 are rising at a faster rate than in previous years. Mm-hmm. They compared it to, quote, a speeding freight train with no signs of slowing down.
That's not good news indeed. I hope things get better as we move forward here.
Not yet. Still more bad news. The report highlights the chasm between international pledges to combat climate change versus what countries are actually doing. At UN climate talks this week, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned that climate change is already wreaking havoc around the world and is already moving faster than we are, and all nations must do more.
We are in trouble. We are in deep trouble with climate change. It is hard to overstate the urgency of our situation. We are still not doing enough, nor moving fast enough, to prevent irreversible and catastrophic climate disruption. Nor are we doing enough to capitalize on the enormous social, economic, and then environmental opportunities of climate action.
As if to underscore that urgency, a new study finds that Greenland is melting faster than ever before, and it's now off the charts. Using ice core data going back 350 years, researchers in the journal Nature this week say that melting of Greenland's ice sheet has, quote, gone into overdrive in just the last 20 years, and worse, that the rate of Greenland's ice melt continues to accelerate.
I'm trying not to hate you right now, Desi Doyen.
Well, still more bad news.
No.
In France, President Emmanuel Macron has temporarily suspended a planned tax hike on diesel fuel, part of a transition to clean energy, after 3 weeks of violent yellow vest demonstrations. While initially triggered by the fuel tax hike, the protests ballooned amid rising anger over economic inequality and stagnating wages. Now on to the good news.
Finally!
In Colorado, Xcel Energy this week became the first major U.S. electric utility utility to pledge to eliminate its carbon emissions entirely. Xcel will reduce emissions 80% by 2030 in the 8 states where it operates and will transition to 100% zero carbon energy by 2050, a move that analysts labeled a game changer for the utility industry.
We could use a game changer.
Finally, Maersk, the world's largest container shipping company, also pledged to cut its carbon emissions to zero by 2050 to combat climate change. Chief Operating Officer Søren Toft told the Financial Times, quote, "We will have to abandon fossil fuels and find a different way to power our assets." In an interview with CNN, Toft said Maersk will have to innovate their entire supply chain, which will take time and ingenuity.
"We will need to find new technologies, new innovative ways of basically providing the future efficient ships. These ships are not available today, and that's why we are reaching out, not only announcing this goal, but also saying that this is a call for action. It's a call for action for all constituents in the supply chain to collaborate and to work together."
So he's basically calling for electric ships?
Yes, not only calling for it, they're going to make it happen.
Well, that's good news. If it happens, for much more on all of these stories, good news and bad, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, or Google Play. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
And just a reminder, while you're in a giving mood, that we've got a matching donation thing going on. A wonderfully generous listener has offered to do, as another listener did last month, match all donations up to $500 for through the end of the year. So now's a great time to donate to the program because your generosity will be doubled. Again, through the end of the year. For more information, go to NicoleSandler.com/donate. All right. Real quick, I told you we're going to salute the state of Florida. First, we'll start with a tune.
Boy, Florida, the deadbeat paradise. Only good for a quick visit or to die. Rotting mangrove swamps, inhale all you want and pass out from just one whiff. Old and cranky Jews, angry Cubans who welcome you with a shaking fist. So hot you stink and smell. I'm off to the great white north to laugh as I watch you die. To Canada where the air is cool and the soda is dry.
All right. That courtesy of our pal Boca Brittany Summers, the Florida anthem. And with that, we welcome Deborah Newell Tornello back to the program. Hey, girl.
Hey, how are you? Am I coming through okay?
You are coming through loud and clear. I'm good. Hanging in there, you know, just waiting for the other shoe to drop, so to speak.
I know. This is quite the day. It's like waiting for Christmas times a million.
Yes, it is. But I got to tell you, sometimes the line between what's real and what's parody is blurred. Vermont Gina just posted something in the chat room, which looks like a tweet from Donald Trump. And I read it and I thought, nah, that can't be real. Sure enough, I go to Trump's Twitter stream and I don't usually read his tweets because they're so batshit crazy. But this one, is in a class all by itself. Here's what he tweeted just a few minutes ago. Mike Pompeo is doing a great job. I am very proud of him. His predecessor, Rex Tillerson, didn't have the mental capacity needed. He was dumb as a rock, and I couldn't get rid of him fast enough. He was lazy as hell. Now it is a whole new ballgame, great spirit at state.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
The CEO
God,
of
right.
Exxon is as dumb as a rock.
Yes. I didn't have the mental capacity needed. He was dumb as a rock, and I couldn't get rid of him as fast enough. He was lazy as hell. And, of course, this is because Tillerson was interviewed today and said some not very complimentary things about Donald Trump. The man,
oh, I missed that. Oh, what did he say?
What did he say? He said, I wish I could remember. Let me see if I can find it. Tillerson, hold on, because it's just it's in the news today. Let's see. Tillerson interview. Let's see. He here on CNN. He was interviewed on CNN. He says, since being fired by Trump, Tillerson has kept a low profile. But on Thursday night in Houston, Tillerson broke that silence in a big way. Here's how he described why behind the breakdown of his relationship. Quote, so often the president would say, here's what I want to do and here's how I want to do it. And I would have to say to him, Mr. President, I understand what you want to do, but you can't do that. You can't do it that way. It violates the law. And so Tillerson said he constantly had to tell Trump he couldn't do the things he wanted to do because it would violate the law.
Okay, so obeying the law is stupid and dumb as a rock.
Right.
That explains a lot, but oh my God.
Yeah.
Did you see his tweets this morning before most of the country was, you know, awake, or while a few of us were stumbling around with our first cup of coffee? He was tweeting stuff that sounded like, you know, when everybody first kind of got internet and your older relatives or older friends got it and they would send you forwarded emails that said forward, colon, forward. Don't skip to the bottom. Read this whole thing. It's true. I swear. Right. Everybody, you know, experts say, and it's some ridiculous conspiracy. And you ended up just kind of deleting those emails instead of ever reading them because they were. That's what his tweets are like, only he's the president.
And the more he does it, like this tweet storm actually started last night. He's been off the hook since last night, tweeting this crazy stuff. Obviously, he's freaked out about the Manafort and Michael Cohen documents that are going to be coming out today.
Of course, of course. He goes batshit, and so does Junior, by the way. I don't know if you noticed Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was mocking him today because Donald Trump Jr. was, I didn't even see what it was that he'd said, but he was bashing her today.
Yeah, said something about socialists eating animals or something.
Oh, God knows. I mean, it's just buffoonery on his part.
Yes,
and she's just not one to mess with. I love it. I mean, don't mess with ex-bartenders and ex-waitresses, people. I am one, and I can tell you.
Exactly. No, she's been calling people out. There was an orientation. There was an orientation yesterday that was billed as a bipartisan freshman orientation. Well, she got there, and they realized that there were people from Koch Brothers, like Americans for Prosperity or something, that was one of the sponsors of this event. And she and Rashida Tlaib, the two of them were tweeting out, like, this was not what we were told. This is, you know, this is wrong. This is not how it's supposed to be. This is anything but bipartisan. So they're calling out the old way of doing things, saying that it's not going to fly anymore.
No. Good for her.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to see her in action.
She's wonderful. She's done more in the couple of weeks since the election than a lot of these clowns have done in the 2 years they're in office, and she hasn't even been sworn in yet.
That's right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I hope she gets the Ways and Means Committee. I know that she's angling for that.
Yeah,
that's
I hope
a very
so too.
Powerful committee. And I'd like to see some young women on that. Thank you.
Yes, especially since who was it that I interviewed about this? I want to say David Dayen, who wrote a piece about how, you know, the Democrats, the progressives, don't want to get on these financial committees. So I guess it's not as sexy and exciting or something, but I'm good for her that she's shooting for that. And I hope she gets it too, because we need somebody good on that committee.
Yes.
Yeah. So Deborah, here you go. Someone posted Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I've noticed that Junior here has a habit of posting nonsense about me whenever the Mueller investigation heats up. Please keep becoming Junior. It's definitely a quote, very, very large brain, end quote, idea to troll a member of a body that will have subpoena power in a month. Have fun.
That's the one. Is that great?
That's awesome. She's great.
And every day she goes, you guys keep coming here, attacking me and then getting lit up. You must like it. You know?
Yeah, great. She's not mincing words. Okay, so a lot of stuff has happened here in Florida that earns us the right to keep calling it Florida. And I guess we have to start with the fact that starting in January, we're going to have Senator Voldemort Scott and Governor Ron DeRacis.
You know, unbelievable.
I figure since Trump makes nicknames for everyone, I can too.
You know, we had a blue wave in most of the country, but Florida, you know, well, you'd think a blue wave would be appropriate given that we are surrounded by water. But no, this is hopeless. till we get a younger electorate, younger, more progressive. But we came very, very close, and Andrew Gillum came very close.
He did. And he's still, you know, he's still out there. He's not, he hasn't sort of faded into the background again. And I don't think he will. I think he's going to stay as an outspoken voice and hopefully run again. I can't
believe.
He's
young and smart and charismatic and outspoken. And we need that.
Yes. So there's a lot of other crazy stuff going on in Florida. This is something for if you're new to the program, Deborah and I used to get together, I think, every week and run through some of these stories just to show that we can still poke fun at our state because it deserves it. This is Hanukkah time. It's the holiday season. And there's a story out of Cape Coral, which is on the west coast by Fort Myers. The city had its Festival of Lights on Saturday. And well, some people said instead of it being a lighthearted night filled with entertainment and visits with Santa Claus, their kids were left in tears because there was a man who stood there in the middle of the whole thing holding a giant sign and yelled that Santa isn't real and that parents are telling their children lies.
I saw that, too. That was one of mine. Oh, amazing story.
Cape Coral Classic. Police were at the event. They said they couldn't do anything because the man was exercising his freedom of speech. They said they could only intervene if the man used a voice enhancer like a megaphone or created a riot, which he didn't.
I mean, really?
Really?
That's just, you know, God.
Yeah.
We all come here. We are the colostomy bag of the country. We really are. All of it just sort of flows down and settles in this state. And that's one of them right there.
Yes, it is. Yeah. All right. You got one?
Got several. Here's one. Again, a little bit Christmas oriented. This guy goes to Kohl's to apply for a job. And here we go. A Spring Hill man arrested for shoplifting after his job interview at the very same place at Kohl's. This is in Spring Hill. He's identified as Dominic Breedlove, arrived at the store at 3:20, proceeded to the Human Resources Department for a job interview. After the interview, Breedlove walked over to the shoe department, found a pair of Nike sneakers without a security tag on them, and then went out to his car to get a Kohl's bag from a previous shopping trip, proceeded back to the shoe department, according to a loss prevention officer who happened to be watching him. The officer told deputies Breedlove walked to a customer service desk, then back to the shoe department when he saw the long line, took another pair of shoes, and left the store. He was taken into custody in the parking lot. He had one pair of women's Nike Arabella shoes valued at $80 and another pair of Nikes valued at $70. And the sheriff's office confirms that Breedlove did not get the job.
Yeah. Seriously, Coles, you didn't hire the guy? That's unusual. Yeah, only in Florida. It is unbelievable. A Florida man is accused of viciously attacking another man Sunday night in a dispute that was apparently over a bottle of vodka. According to a police report from the Martin County Sheriff's Office, deputies responded to a battery call in Stewart. This is just up the East Coast. When they arrived to the American Legion parking lot, an intoxicated man covered in blood approached the officer saying he'd been beat up by a homeless man named Louis Pacelli. The victim reported that he and Pacelli had been sitting in his van nearby in the parking lot of Lowe's. Two men had only known each other a short time. They met at the Martin County Fairgrounds for a Thanksgiving dinner served by a church group. Well, while sitting in the car, O'Rourke told officers that Pacelli, the homeless man, asked him if he had any vodka. The victim replied that he had half a pint and handed him the bottle, which Pacelli began to chug. But O'Rourke O'Rourke said he was upset that he was drinking all his booze, and that's when they started fighting. Pacelli allegedly grabbed the man by his hair, slammed his head against the steering wheel, and dragged him out of the van to beat him some more, biting his right ear in the process. And it went on from there. So it was a fight. He was chugging his vodka. Don't drink all his vodka, I guess, is the moral of the story.
Oh, dear. Well, on the alcohol theme, because I'm sure there was alcohol involved in this one, Seminole County, which is in the middle of the state, when authorities pulled a Central Florida man over on the interstate, the routine traffic stop turned into anything but when a lemur appeared. Florida Highway Patrol stopped 27-year-old Shane Taylor because he was driving erratically and hitting other cars. And you can see the videotape from the dash cam, and there's sparks flying everywhere as this horse trailer that he's pulling. You can see the horse trailer throwing sparks as it was dragged along the road. And then as troopers approach the vehicle, a lemur is seen jumping out of the trailer.
Oh, my God.
Is
it legal to have a lemur?
On suspicion of a DUI. Suspicion, oh my God. I'd say that's pretty much a slam dunk. But okay.
I want to know how he got the lemur and where the lemur usually lives.
I know.
Right?
Too many weird animal stories. I'm sure you probably noticed a few of them.
Well, I have that one.
I skipped over a bunch of them because just too awful.
You know, you're right. There were some really like stories that were right on the cusp of this isn't really funny. It's more.
It's not duh. Creepy. It's disgusting.
Yes. Well, like this one is on the cusp. But a number of people sent me this story. It just happened a couple of days ago. A Florida woman. A woman this time in Dania Beach, which is not far from here at all, is accused of pulling a knife and threatening a man who complained after she farted loudly in a Dollar General checkout line.
Oh, God.
Shanetta Yvette Wilson, 37, of Dania Beach, is charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. According to Broward County jail records, she remains in jail Wednesday in lieu of $2,500 bond. Apparently, Wilson was in line at a Dania Beach Dollar General store when she farted. And this guy, John Walker, got into an argument with her about farting loudly. So Wilson pulled a knife from her purse, opened the knife, and told the victim she was going to gut him. I guess the moral of that story is don't fart in the dollar store.
Yeah, I guess not.
Oh my God.
What can you even say to that?
I don't know.
I'm sure everyone listening, you know, and I've told a few friends about this segment and they're going, oh, all states, we've all got weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, not the like kind Florida. Of concentration that we've got here. We're unique. I'm sorry, but I'm calling it. Florida is the weirdest state. We just are. Arizona's got definitely some good stories, but not quite our level.
Yeah.
If that's something to brag about. Not really, but.
Not really. Not really. You know.
Go ahead.
And I was going to say, this is where people come to die, you know. So, but Arizona as well, they've got their share of older people. Not that all these people who do these weird things are old. I honestly think it's the humidity.
I think it's an age thing. I think it's just the heat.
Yeah, the humidity. It's the humidity.
I think it's the heat and the fact that when you're kind of on the edge and, you know, you're not really doing all that well wherever you are, you think, well, you know, my life is a complete clusterfuck. I might as well be warm.
So. Yes, exactly. As I said, it's, you know, 78 degrees here today, while most of the rest of the country is freezing and digging out from snow.
That's it.
Snow's
better and better.
Yes, I've got one from your neck of the woods, St. Petersburg, Florida. This happened December 3rd, so just a few days ago. A sheriff's deputy in St. Pete was on a routine beach patrol, at 3:30 in the afternoon on December 3rd when she noticed a full moon. The writer of this story on Yahoo was being clever because, more specifically, it was a white male naked backside that was pointed to the sky.
Oh, no.
So that was the full moon. The naked backside belonged to Tommy Lee Hampton, 52, and the legs wrapped around him in what the deputy described as naked on the bottom half and having intercourse belonged to a woman he claimed was his old lady. Unfortunately, his old lady had an order of protection which barred Hampton from any contact with her. According to the report, they both smelled of alcohol. By the way, the guy, Tommy Lee Hampton, is known as Tennessee Tom. And in the arrest report, he told the deputy, I should just leave her alone, but I can't. I wrote you every day for a year, or perhaps I wish I knew how to quit you, he said. And then he told the deputy, when you let me out, I'm going to get my old lady. And then he told the deputy, at least I got some pussy before I went to jail.
Oh, dear God. Oh, yeah. That sounds about Florida.
Yeah.
That's
right on the beach. 3:30 in the afternoon. December 3rd was at least a work day.
There are some common threads to all these stories. There's usually nudity, alcohol.
Yeah.
Often there's masturbation in public and broad sunlight.
Yeah.
You know, driving very erratically. I mean, these are always happening. And then we have ones like this one, which I believe I sent you. And that's when you said, Deborah, let's do another Florida.
Uh-huh.
Bungling burglar. Oh, this one's great. Florida man broke into a car dealership, the video shows. He ended up with his pants down, literally. Talk about bumbling burglars. A video posted on the Lakeland Police Department's Facebook page. And Lakeland, for those of you out of state, is, again, in the middle of the state, sort of halfway between Tampa and Orlando.
Right.
Anyhow, he broke into a Hyundai dealership. The break-in did not go as smoothly as planned. At about 9 p.m. on November 18th, an as-yet-to-be-identified subject used a fire extinguisher to break a hole in the wall. The three-minute clip taken from the Polk County business's surveillance video shows the hole wasn't user-friendly. If you're going to break in, make a user-friendly hole, guys.
Make it big enough. Come on.
Make it big enough. Anyways, he gets stuck midway, and he sort of wiggles. It's just like Winnie the Pooh, except with ugly Florida people instead of cute bears. He gets sort of stuck in the hole.
Oh, my God.
And he manages to wiggle his way through, but he loses his shorts in the process. Anyway, so he gets through the hole, into the dealership, pulls up his shorts and starts rifling through drawers, not the undergarment kind.
Right.
Authorities say the suspect made off with a generator, and they still haven't caught him and are asking anybody with information to call the Lakeland Police Department. Now, here's the thing. Breaking and entering is a felony, as it, you know, well, it should be. If you're going to commit a felony, wouldn't it make sense that you're going to do so for something more valuable than a used generator? I mean, the most you're going to get for a used generator on the black market is, you know, what, $100 maybe from a pawn shop? I just can't imagine why somebody would risk going to prison.
I don't
for
know.
5 years.
He must have been drinking. I mean, because that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, he was naked or parked for a while there.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Or at least get a car. You're in a car dealership.
Exactly.
Get a car.
And drive it through the plate glass window and off you go. Now you've got something to tell your grandchildren about. But
go big or go home.
Exactly.
Well, a student at Florida Atlantic University right here in Boca Raton is accused of posting a threat to kill one of his professors on Twitter. Rafael DeComas, 20, of Riviera Beach, was arrested last week on a charge of sending a written threat to kill. According to an FAU police report, a Twitter post published at about 1 a.m. Tuesday read, "Bay, I gurn fucking killed this professor. Bay, this is my confession to a premeditated murder."
Oh, no. He sounds like Trump.
Right. FAU police said they were able to trace the account to this guy, DeComas, because the Twitter profile linked him to the Caribbean Student Association. According to the report, he told police he was upset that his data structure professor had scheduled a final exam for 7 a.m. Because he lives in Riviera Beach, which is in Palm Beach County, police told him he would have to wake up at 5 a.m. So he said he didn't intend to harm anyone, and he tweeted the post out of frustration. He threatened to kill a professor for scheduling an exam at 7 a.m.
If I threatened to kill people every time I was frustrated, well,
yeah.
How long have you got? I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Just wow.
I guess it's a good thing he's in school because he should learn that, you know, you make threats like that, you go to jail.
Yeah, well, he's about to get a big life lesson, I'm afraid.
Yeah, whoa. Night classes.
Anyhow, okay, I've got one on this guy. Oh, the picture is just pretty horrendo. But anyways, this is from the Miami area, Ashley Homestead. Florida man who posed as a housewife to trick men into sex was sentenced to 3 years in prison. A federal judge sentenced a Homestead man to 3 years in prison Monday after he posed as a housewife and secretly recorded himself performing sex acts on more than 100 men. Okay,
oh my God.
Me stop right here. What part of being a housewife is performing sex acts on men when you're a man. I can't seem to connect
yeah,
those two.
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense.
I mean,
but okay.
Sex worker, yes.
Yes.
You know, yes. Massage therapist, maybe, but housewife?
To each his own, I suppose.
I guess.
I suppose.
Anyways, he pled guilty to two counts of illegal interception of oral communications.
Oral communication.
I'm not making that up.
Okay.
He provided the videos to a pornographic website called Straight Boys with a Z, and in the plea agreement, he told authorities that he would invite his victims to his home near the Homestead Reserve Air Base using Craigslist and social media.
Oy.
So they were expecting housewife, and when they get there, there's this scary looking guy instead, and they figure, well, I made the trip, I might as well, you know. How do these people put these things together?
I don't know. I've got one about one of our elected officials. You're familiar with Hallandale Beach, right? Hallandale Beach is right on the Dade-Broward line. And people who – old, retired, mostly Jewish people live in Hallandale Beach, just in case you were wondering. Well, the new mayor of Hallandale Beach said she plans to apologize at the next city commission meeting after making a controversial comment at her first meeting since taking office. And rather than tell you what she said, here, I've got audio. Okay.
Hallandale Beach Mayor Joy Adams has said she reportedly will be apologizing at tonight's City Commission meeting after making a controversial comment earlier this month at her first meeting since taking office.
Can you do it a lot cheaper? I mean, today I'm half Jewish. I'm saving a lot of money today.
Now, Adams referred to herself as half Jewish during a discussion about keeping costs low for the upcoming city manager search.
Nice way to, you know, get stereotypes in there.
Anti-Semitic.
You think?
Nasty.
But she's half Jewish. Hey, she can be cheap because she's half Jewish.
Oh, God.
In Hallandale Beach. That's their new mayor. Thank you very much. Yeah.
We have not progressed one inch in Florida. We really haven't.
We really haven't.
We are stuck in the, I don't know, the dark ages. I don't know. It's terrible.
At least it gives us something to laugh at.
I guess.
Like the woman in Holly Hill. I'm not sure where that is. She lives in a high-rise condo, and she spelled out in lights across her balcony, Bah Humbug. But the other residents of the condo complex weren't amused. She was told to take it down. Bah Humbug?
What's wrong with that?
She warned the person that owns the unit she's renting it, told her that balcony lights are against the rules, and that she should prepare for major massive retaliation from her neighbors for putting Bah Humbug up in her balcony.
I think it's kind of funny.
I know. And I like it, too.
It's a Dickens sort
That's
of
right.
reference.
Yes, it is. How much more holiday can you be than a Christmas
Dickens,
carol?
I know.
Right.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So Speedbird in the chat room says, so she's half anti-Semitic.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
We're getting close to the end of the hour, and I've been checking constantly to see if the those sentencing memos had come out yet. They are not out yet. So I guess...
Has Mueller Clause arrived yet?
Not yet. But it's bound to happen sometime within... Well, the next hour for the Michael Cohen stuff and for the Manafort stuff, we may have to wait till tonight. One way or another, it'll come out. But Trump may not still be standing because the Dow Jones Industrial Average right now, the market closes in 2 minutes, down $536.94 at this moment. Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And that's not the first time it did it this week either.
Oh, God, no. Well, two days ago, it closed down almost 800 points. Yesterday, it dipped down that low and then came back up to close at like 80 down. But looks like today they're going to have another big sell-off, another big drop. Oh, Donald, maybe it's just time for him to retire.
Yes, I think it's a sign. I really
so do. Too. Deborah Newell Tornell, what? Points. Did I say dollars? Sorry, I said dollars. Points is what I meant. And with that, we're done. This is what happens when I try to do five things at once. Deborah Newell Tornello, it's always great to talk to you. We didn't even get to talk about the marijuana industry. We'll have to do that next time.
Absolutely.
All right.
Have a lovely weekend.
Well, thank you. You too. And to stay away from those Florida-ians.
You too.
Okay, bye. And bye-bye. To you, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back again on Tuesday to do it all over again. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend.